episode 182 of the TV News Podcast, recorded May 9th, 2018. Funny business. All right, guys, we're going to talk about shows that are funny or about business, possibly about the business being funny, or possibly...
I thought this was like a multi-level comedy marketing scheme where, like, you get your funny business, like us to invest in your funny business, but then we got to get our friends to invest in our funny business.
I will be funny, and then I will tell you a joke, and you will tell your friends a joke, and then they will tell you a joke. You'll get your joke back to me, and then I'll tell the
jokes. Yeah, that's like your Twitter. Down laugh.
Yeah, exactly. That's my down laugh. All right, we are the TV Dudes. I'm Randy.
I'm Les.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Ashley.
And everybody's here but Grant this week.
I know, Grant's not feeling too good.
He's under the weather, so we had to do a change-up. This was going to be our FX episode. Instead, it's a bit of a potpourri. Everybody's bringing something to the table. It's a TV Dudes potluck.
Also would have been a great name.
Would have been a great
TV Dudes potluck. Actually, this time of the year, it would make no sense whatsoever.
So we're going to be talking about Trust over on FX. We're going to talk about Cobra Kai over on YouTube Red, continuing our comprehensive YouTube Red coverage. And we're going to talk about Two Dope Queens over on HBO. And then, of course, we will close out with our weekly Westworld check-in. But before we do that, we always remind you guys that you can go over to support us on patreon.com/TVDudes. Want to throw a shout out to our new patron, Cameron O'Donnell. Thank you. And you can throw us a buck an episode. That's like about $4. You only get charged every time we release an episode. And you get sweet bonus content. Like this week, we're going to talk Infinity War again because we haven't heard what Ashley and Les thought.
So I have opinions.
Yes, good.
So we're going to use the time stone. We're going to turn it back. Now it's still right after the movie came out for our Patreon.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little on the nose.
I'm sorry. And I apologize on mic.
You guys might know we are part of a network of podcasts. We've just changed the name of that network. And the name is Electric Sweater.
Electric Sweater.
Sweater.
Wait, really?
Yeah. We're Electric Sweater now.
Well, why does it still say Permanent Record on our wall?
Studio.
The studio is the Permanent Record.
Because we're coming to you live from Permanent Record Studios.
But it was confusing to have the podcast network also be named the studio.
Oh, I see. So it's kind of like that movie Airheads. It's like we broke in here and...
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's going to come up later in the discussion when we get to Trust.
We're the Lone
No
Rangers.
Lies. Airheads did come up while I was watching that show.
I didn't expect there to be two Airheads references on our podcast.
I'm not even making this up. Like,
Airheads, the movie, comes up in my daily life on an embarrassing frequency.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Good to know.
Buscemi, Sandler, and what's his face?
Brendan Fraser.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The caveman. The Encino man.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But yeah, he was the Encino man, right?
Yes.
He was also the guy who fought the mummy. Not once, but twice.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But not thrice.
Fought the rocks.
Overrated.
With Matt Damon.
Overrated movie, underrated ride. I don't know if you've ever been on the mummy ride at Universal Studios.
No?
That shit
Fraser was onto
blew
something, ride
my 15-year-old mind.
Better ride than movies, what you're saying.
I mean, I guess it's a fine movie. I wish it no ill will. In fact, I can't really remember it.
Okay.
But that ride blew my mind.
The franchise that gave us The Rock, is it not?
What's that?
That's franchise that originally gave us The Rock.
It did. Well, I mean, wrestling gave us The Rock, but
yeah, but
that was
it's what let non wrestling fans smell what the man was cooking, right?
Yes, that is correct.
I thought it was part of that covenant God made with us.
I knew there was something.
He'd never flood the earth again. And by the way, here's The Rock.
Here's The Rock. Almost does it. Like, he's a human rainbow, really.
He's
he
the 11th
really
commandment.
Is. I'm thinking about him playing a ukulele right now, and it's just I get the warm fuzzies.
All right, so we're going to hit up some news here. Grant gave us our news this week. There's a whole list of every network TV show cancellation renewal of 2018. I presume that Grant's plan was not for us to go through this moment by moment. But what I found interesting was that I discovered in looking at this list that I don't watch network TV anymore. Because there are shows on here I've never heard of. And there was nothing where I was like, oh, they're canceling. I remember a short time ago when I used to be like, oh, I can't believe they're canceling my favorite show. That hasn't happened to me in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, is there anything you guys are watching on network TV that jumps out at you? Like, besides The Good Place?
No. Have any of you watched that show, The Mayor?
No. Yes, no, actually. No.
That is the one show that I've heard a little bit of buzz about, but I didn't give it a fair shake. And then whenever you see a show like that on the chopping block, you're like, is it me? Did I do that?
Did I ruin
no,
it?
No. I couldn't have saved it.
I watched probably 4 or 5 episodes of that one Saturday, cleaning house and stuff. It's a really cute sitcom, and I felt a little bit bad of like, oh shit, I heard this was good and now it's on the bubble and
oh, it's canceled.
It's done. Yeah.
Yeah, it's done.
They're also ending some shows I've heard of, like The Middle, that long running sitcom on ABC, that's ending. Once Upon a Time, that long running fable show on ABC.
Yeah.
Also ending. Scandal is ending, which is a Shonda Rhimes show. That's kind of surprising.
Well, Shonda's leaving to go to Netflix, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Scandalous.
We do not know the fate of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I got her back.
It's going to remain
not
terrible.
Too on the nose somehow. It was perfect.
I have this feeling that one of the reasons that Grant put this on here is that Inhumans is still listed as on the bubble. It's fate unknown. Because if you've been listening, you might know that I made an ill-fated joke and wager in which I said that if they renewed the Inhumans, I would watch and review every episode.
Yes.
And so I keep waiting for them to officially cancel it, but I feel like if it's renewed at this point, it is only to torture me.
There's so much money to burn at Disney that I feel like they could do this just to grant me a favor.
but I love Disney and I love Marvel. Why would they do that to me?
Well, I mean, they also just said that they are maybe not buying X-Men and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think with that saved money, they're planning to produce a season 2 of Inhumans just to hear your thoughts.
I don't think that's true. I think it's very unlikely. But apparently, it's not a certainty. It is still Schrodinger's Inhumans.
Are you sure you didn't, like, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago, cut someone off in traffic? You didn't realize it at the time, but he wrote down your license plate number.
It's possible. And now he works at Disney?
Yeah. It's like it's our longest standing patron. We never really placed who it was. Waiting for the moment that he could use your podcast against you.
He only pays the $1 a week just so he can get as much intel as possible on me.
Oh, this is like some old boy, there will be blood shit. Except instead of like you dying or it turns out you had sex with your daughter, you have to watch Inhuman.
That sounds awful.
It's not great.
No, it's not good.
I mean, it's not old boy, but it's not great.
I've never heard of any of the shows that are canceled over on whatever network, the CBS. No surprise there. The CW has renewed almost everything except for, I think, like 3 shows. So they're not going to continue the originals, Life Sentence, or Valor. Literally everything else they have has been renewed, except for iZombie, which is on the bubble, but will probably
be Rob Thomas tweeted out today, like, I love doing this show. Please watch it live. Go kidnap a Nielsen family.
Make them sit there with you.
Take their TV. Make them watch it.
You know what I'm excited to see on this list?
What's that?
Orville's coming back.
But it's still on the bubble, right?
No. It's
is it confirmed?
I believe. Let me go check the list.
Because I looked at the list. I didn't see it on the – on. It's official word pending on the
renewed.
List.
Nope. Go up nope.
Oh,
right
you're
above.
Right. You're right. Yep. It's renewed.
Oh, that's great.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yep. Along with Empire. And that's supposed to be a terrible show, 9-1-1. New Girl is ending.
Yeah.
But that's on their terms, I think.
I think I'm in like season 5 or something like that on Netflix, because it's sort of like that show I leave on in the background when I just have nothing really going on. It's really solid for that. And then something showed up in my feed and I realized it was still going on.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, when you were saying, you know, things on network getting canceled, I was realizing how many of the shows that I've liked have ended, but on their own terms.
Yeah.
Like, most of the stuff I watch is prestige TV that wraps when it means to wrap.
Yeah, and I am all about that. I am totally happy with endings. One show that we don't know the fate of, and this is going to be a big thing for Kyle, is Fox's Lethal Weapon. So this is pretty bonkers. Clayne Crawford, who is the guy who plays Riggs on Lethal Weapon, apparently is kind of a douchebag. There was an incident where he became angry over what he deemed an unsafe work environment, and then another one where Crawford was directing an episode and an actor was hit by shrapnel from an effect. That actor apparently was Damon Wayans.
Oh, nice.
And Crawford had not been officially terminated from the series, and he said on his Instagram, I love this, I absolutely love, respect, and care for my crew and cast and would never intentionally jeopardize so many jobs. I am incredibly sorry if my passion for doing good work has ever made anyone feel less than comfortable on our set or feel less than celebrated for their efforts.
To me, look, he loves television. It just makes him crazy sometimes.
Yes, that's exactly what it is, right?
Yeah.
It's insane.
I think there's two very important things to note here. One, that wasn't in all caps. And two, this is totally what Riggs would do in real life. Why are we complaining?
I hope Damon Wayans turned around after the shrapnel hit him and said, I am getting too old for this shit. Like, I think he loses a paycheck if he missed that moment, but I am all for them stepping up and firing this dude. That's great.
So they, he's been fired and they're looking for a replacement. And I think I have a great idea for this.
Okay.
I think they should have a different actor play Riggs in every episode, and they should stunt cast it.
Like that Dylan movie. Yeah.
Yes. Donald Glover is Riggs.
Tilda Swinton is Riggs. Steve Buscemi. Yeah.
Yeah.
You could do this all in this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could get, I mean, it's a 22 episode, 22 different actors, 20 different Riggs. You could gender flip Riggs. You can colorblind cast Riggs. You can have a dog play Riggs in one episode.
You could get that dog from Air Bud.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, because he is still alive.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I hope that dog
is immortal.
I hope this actor is listening to us right now. I had a serious answer, but I'm like, maybe I should just save it.
No, fuck him. Like, he straight up said, I only hit you because I want you to be better.
Yeah.
That's what his said.
Yeah.
Like, what if, oh, my God, what if he's the guy in charge of the Inhumans decision? Oh, that could be bad for me. I just made fun of him, and now he's going to make Inhumans come back.
I really do feel like all decisions behind the Inhumans are trolling. I really do.
Yeah, yeah. Kyle, do you have an actual suggestion?
I don't know. I thought that guy from Altered Carbon was playing kind of a good Riggs.
Joel Kinnaman?
Yeah.
That dude's moved on from Lethal Weapon, my friend.
No, he doesn't need that shit. Yeah.
I mean, he could work with Blank Man, though.
That's true. That is true. The draw of working with Damon Wayans could bring any man back.
I don't know. Here's the thing. I had written off Damon Wayans, but you got to admit, he's good in the show.
Yeah.
Like, when the show is good, which it's not always good. In fact, I think it kind of fizzled out by now. So who knows? Maybe a new Riggs could pump some life into it, and you can hear me talk about Lethal Weapon some more.
Or 22 different Riggs, including one who's a dog.
That would actually be pretty badass. I would love that. And they don't even mention it. It's just a different like plot point. But he still has his really long story points.
It's like,
so like he still has, you know, the girl that he's trying to get with. Yeah. But like in one episode, it's the girl's having sex with a dog.
Because we just went to a weird place. Now.
I like the idea that Lethal Weapon is like the backside of a Quantum Leap show we don't get to watch. And like somewhere the actor from the original Riggs, like he's just off in a bunch of other shows fucking them up. And there's just confused to be like the dog from Air Bud and somewhere that dude's trying to make a shot in basketball.
Yeah, yeah, I like it too.
How crazy would it be if somewhere Mel Gibson is like, I'll do it.
Oh, God. And they're like, well, you know what? Step up.
There's a lot of reasons I didn't see Daddy's Home 2. I really can't put all the blame on like some moral boycott, but it was made easier by
his involvement.
I'm sorry, you guys. I spaced out imagining Dame Helen Mirren as Riggs.
I'd watch the shit out of that.
What were you guys talking about?
Exactly. Yeah.
I can't remember now.
Yeah,
cause,
fair.
Because that's all I can think of.
I want
of.
An action franchise with her so bad.
Oh, that'd be so amazing. All right. Santa Clarita Diet Season 3 has been ordered by Netflix.
All right.
That's good news. I really like Season 2. I think it stepped up from Season 1. And this is interesting. After an 8-year run on TBS, Conan O'Brien's talk show is going to go to a half hour, which is Daily Show length, which I think is interesting because I feel like that's better for Conan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually – so, I mean, obviously, I don't know if it was entirely his idea or whatever, but the statements he said about it were positive. And
right.
I actually kind of like the idea, too. I mostly watch his stuff online anyways.
Yeah.
And I like – you know, I like it when he goes to the festivals. I like seeing him kind of be able to film sort of like outside of the standard format skits and kind of do like the commentary and then have his like – extended monologues and things like that. I'm fine with it.
I agree. I think it fits him better.
Yeah.
Well, and two, one of the ways that I would consume The Daily Show, which granted, I'm kind of my TV habits have changed since then, but that 30-minute chunk is much easier to get down. You can go through 3 days of Conan's show now in an hour and a half, whereas before you could only go through a show and a half. It's kind of what keeps me from watching Jimmy Fallon, which I imagine he's probably pretty good, but there's so much fluff in there. Like, you get maybe 5 minutes of, you know, like his best stuff, and then you're just sitting through commercials for movies and albums coming out and whatever else he's selling. Maybe that'll be the thing. Maybe Conan's going to be selling less shit now.
Yeah, I think
like,
it's... I think it's more. I think he is deliberately going. They're going to do one guest, just like Daily Show format. One guest and then some bits and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so when I think about late night TV, like I'm not a huge Kimmel fan. I'm not a huge Fallon fan. But I like John Oliver. I like Colbert, and I like Conan. And
John Oliver's like, next level.
Yeah, for sure. And John Oliver definitely has a brand that is distinctive. He does long form oratory kind of like presentations. Colbert has his thing. It's nice to see Conan differentiating and having a very separate thing so that they all three have something unique going on.
And when Conan first launched, I mean, like when we were all watching I was watching Conan in the 90s, the late night stuff that had taken over from Carson, like Letterman was wacky, but but really, they were pretty stoic compared to how wacky Conan was.
Yeah.
And now, like, Late Night has adopted his shtick. Like, Fallon's show is Conan's 90s show, kind of.
Yeah.
And so I think it makes perfect sense for him to move to a half-hour thing and try to, you know, maybe do what Joel McHale is trying to do, but better.
I hope so.
I love the clip of when Letterman went on Conan's show right after he took it over.
I
haven't seen this.
Oh, so it's a great interview in its own right. And then in the middle of it, and you know, Conan's like 30 years old. He looks like a little kid, and Andy Richter looks like a little kid. It's adorable. And all of a sudden, like, Letterman's like, "Hey, wait a minute, how did you get this show?" And Conan's like, "Oh yeah, it was an essay contest. I got fourth." That's about right. Yeah. It is such a good moment.
So we're going to give spoiler warning for Trust, Cobra Kai, Two Dope Queens, and this week's episode of Westworld. So you are hereby spoiler warned.
Didn't All the Money in the World also spoil the shit out of Trust?
Yes, it did. Also, ooh, reality.
Actually, we'll get into that in a moment, but it may not have.
Ooh, well, let's start with Trust, because Kyle, how many episodes are there? Like 7 or 8 right now?
I'm looking it up right now.
Are you up? Are you caught up?
I'm all the way caught up. Although, as we're recording this, so if you're listening, two nights ago, Wednesday nights, I believe it comes on. So as we're recording this, there's a new episode tonight. But yeah, no, this is the story of John Paul Getty III, who was kidnapped. And then, if you've seen the trailer for All the Money in the World, his grandfather, the head of Getty Oil, famously, is like, oh, not going to give him anything.
So this is an FX show, and it is set in 1973. It is a story that I did not know, but which sounds sort of like custom made for TV because it's so lurid. And his grandfather, played by Donald Sutherland, is like, he has a harem of women.
Oh my gosh, yeah, it is. You guys, like, no lie, like, he has like 6 wives, but they're not wives, they're contract girlfriends.
Yeah.
So Randy earlier said he didn't really care about spoilers, but
yeah, go ahead.
Throughout the season, they want you to know Donald Sutherland is an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, his house, like, is a character in itself. It's this English manor, and he's this, you know, kind of shitty rich American dude living in it. He's got black swans, like, everything's black, just black everywhere. Because oil, you know, and it really just kind of fits the character. But
I like that he dropped that, like, because oil, like,
because
right.
I'm trying to paint a visual here.
Yeah,
but no, just to show you how much of an asshole he is, he gets one of his harem pregnant throughout the course of the season, and she's like trying to decide if she tells him or not, and she's like, "Hey, you know, I'm gonna," and he goes, "What makes you think I want to have another son? You know what this is? This is violation of the contract.
Oh,
you can,
shit.
You can have an abortion or you can violate our contract," and walks out of the room.
Wow.
And he gets these women like fighting over him. They dress like in all black all the time. It's
crazy shit.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Donald Sutherland plays an amazing asshole. John Paul Gay, the head of it. His grandson's played by Harris Dickinson, who I don't know off the top of my head, but he's great as sort of this hippie burnout who comes in sort of looking to grab some money from his old man because he got in trouble with the mafia in Rome. Mm-hmm. And then his grandfather basically just sort of piss him off, piss off the rest of the family, decides to appoint this kid as heir. Until his the kids, this is all first episode, by the way.
Yeah, no.
The kid's father, who's pissed off that he got passed up, mm-hmm. reveals to the grandfather that the kid is a drug addict, which is the one thing the grandfather cannot abide, and fucks up everything.
And you want to know what's so amazing about this because it comes up several times in the show. Mm-hmm. The grandfather, played by Donald Sutherland, he hates drugs, all right? But you slowly learn the reason everybody's on drugs around him is the reason why you would be on drugs around this guy.
I can totally see why you'd be on drugs around this
guy. Like, his son, who, for the most part, in the story, is kind of just an asshole, but he gets kind of a prequel episode, and you realize, oh, no, he was very innocent at the beginning of this.
Yeah.
And even the divorce with his wife, you can see the seeds of that planted by his father, by Donald Sutherland, the grandfather.
So the guy who plays his son, you remember the guy who – he seems to always play shitty dudes. He was on Mad Men, and he's on GLOW now. He's like the ex-husband. I'm trying to remember what that actor's name is. Yeah. Is it Michael Gladys who played Paul Kinsey?
Here we go. Michael Esper.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he feels like one of those characters that dude should have played, because he's just such a scummy guy who never blames everyone blames everyone else for his problems, mm-hmm. never blames himself for what are clearly self-inflicted wounds. But I think that the thing is, like, I thought this was going to be kind of like soapy and maybe a little boring. And it is definitely not. It moves along in a great clip. Also, Danny Boyle directs the first couple episodes.
That's what I was going to say.
It is gorgeous.
And he sticks on his producer credit. Oh, yeah. They do a lot of that, like, Danny Boyle, like, kind of steady cam. Like, they make you feel it.
Yeah.
And here's what – if I can convince anybody to watch this show, I'm going to plant this little seed.
Yep.
This is like Fargo to me right now.
I can see that.
Because this isn't just the story. This isn't just kind of like a gritty Danny Boyle. He didn't do Man on Fire, did he?
But no, that's Tony Scott.
No.
But kind of that feeling, you know, like that Man on Fire type feeling. No, this is like, oh shit, nothing goes according to plan. Every episode, they kind of like peel back a couple more layers.
Yeah.
And even the disclaimer in the show, it's this is based on true events. Mm-hmm. The dialogue is written to correspond with those events. We have combined events for dramatic effect.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like that. I don't know. Something like that kind of speaks to more true than like, you know, names have been changed or, you know, we've taken some liberties. Because it does sound like they're trying to stay really true, but they figured out this way to show, no, here are the characters. Here are the people who are involved, and here's how dumb they were every step
of the way. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. It does have that Fargo, the kidnapping and the ransom and the crooks are stupid. My favorite thing, I've only seen a couple episodes so far, but the second episode, they introduce James Brent. Fletcher Chase.
Oh, yeah.
The head of security for Getty Oil, played by Brendan Fraser.
Mm-hmm.
And he's playing this Texas dude. So he comes in his cowboy hat and his accent, and he's talking directly to the camera the whole episode.
Oh, yeah. Breaks the third wall.
I've heard about that. So there have been some recent interviews with Brendan Fraser, and he's back in the limelight a little bit after taking a lot of time off apparently doing the Mummy movies. Fucked him up physically.
No.
Yeah.
Do you know the first movie I thought of when I saw him on here? Mm. I was like, shit, the dude from Airheads. Bringing it back. Sorry.
No. Continue.
in these interviews, like, he talked they specifically brought this up as like being that thing of like America's going to see him and everybody immediately has the same like, that guy, I miss him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was when he came on, I'm like, is that Brendan Fraser? And he's great here. He's so good.
Can I tell you about a scene later in the season?
Yes.
Definitely a spoiler, but this just tells you who the character is. All right. Eventually, Paul Getty Sr., he goes and he negotiates with the terrorists or with the kidnappers. And it's a thing where, like, he walks off with the head crime boss, and his security guard, played by Brendan Fraser, he hangs back while these four dudes with guns are just all hanging around, and he takes a nap. He puts the cowboy hat. So the guy comes up, like the dude we've seen very violent throughout the course, starts fucking with him, and he, like, pokes him. And Brendan Fraser looks at him and goes, oh, that's a nice gun. I used to shoot a gun like that in Vietnam. And the guy goes, let me see your gun. And he goes, oh, I ain't got a gun. And he's like, what is that? And he goes, oh, it's just a radio. And he's like, a radio? And he goes, yeah, see, watch. And he pulls the antenna out, and this Black Hawk helicopter comes from behind Brendan Fraser, and a guy with a turret gun pointed at all those dudes right there. He goes, we use these in Vietnam, too. And he just tucks it back in his pocket and keeps taking a nap.
All right, that's badass.
Yeah,
that's solid.
Yeah, every moment I saw with Brendan Fraser, I was super excited. What I did not realize, as I looked at the credits, is Hilary Swank is in this.
Oh, yeah.
As Gail Getty.
Yeah, so Gail Getty is the mother of Getty the Third, the kid who's kidnapped. And just to kind of give you a little context, so you have Paul Getty the Second, who did not grow up with his father, but as I don't believe so, as an adult, he receives a phone call one day that's just like, "Hey, come be part of the family. You know, like it's time for you to take over the empire." And he comes out, he wines and dines him. And then he gives him a job, but if you're familiar with Henry Ford and his son Edsel Ford, it's kind of the same situation. Like, every idea he has, his father goes against him, and all of his work that he does, he never sees any of it into fruition. He essentially is just there as kind of like a plaything for his father, much like the harem. So he then has a son, he has a wife, this whole thing tears the family apart, she remarries in Rome, and that's where the kid is when this whole story begins. So the father, he is living in England still, he's remarried or is some like weird swinger type thing. It's the 70s, everybody's like, still have a lot of sex. A lot of residual sex happening.
Sure.
I think initially I thought this show was the thing with Brian Cox that's about to come out that also is like horrible patriarch.
Right.
It seems
like in the same vein.
And that's by the guy that directed Big Short. I was conflating those two shows. And I also assumed that this was done by the Glee American Horror Story.
Ryan Murphy.
Yeah. Yeah, like I just assumed that this had to be part of the like anthology crime franchise.
It's not what I thought it was either, and it is so much better than I expected. Like, I was expecting kind of dry. FX does like that show Snowfall that we watched, which I liked but was so forgettable.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, okay, this is good, but I don't need to watch it. This is really, really good, and I need to catch up on the rest of it.
If only FX could figure out a way to get me shows without me having to, you know, buy in on a cable scam.
FX really needs to have some kind of that is a big problem. They don't have any kind of streaming market.
That's why I'm not up on Atlanta.
Nope. Yeah. I haven't watched Atlanta. I haven't watched Legion. I haven't watched Trust. Your network does not exist.
FX, we know you're listening, so I will just give you this compliment. This time last year, I could not even watch FX on the app.
Yeah.
Now I've got a cable service, so I use their app that way.
Right.
But there was 5 commercials between every commercial break. USA did this too.
Yeah.
So both those apps were useless. This year, or recently, they've changed that. It's like you get the same commercial every time. I mean, that still sucks, but it's just one like 30-second commercial, so it's tolerable at least.
One of the streaming channels I have, I mean, all of them seem to run the same commercial 9 times to the show, but one of them has a DirecTV commercial that has a song by Lizzo on it, and it's at least a song I like. And so there's always that like, oh shit, it's that 5 seconds of that song I like.
It's not a song you liked at this point?
We're close. I just saw her live, so it back up a little bit.
You hear it over and over again, any song.
It's going to get there. It's like the Discover commercials. the people that, the twins that talk to each other.
Yeah.
I think CW runs the shit out of that.
Yeah.
Hulu.
So what's a commercial?
Oh.
Randy?
Yes. So, see, in the old days, they showed these shows called shows, and then in between the shows, when they go to a break, they would show these commercials where people would tell you what products to buy. Sometimes there'd be celebrities who would make endorsements of these products, and you would want to buy them.
So, in other words, the reason that the people on the TV shows are rich is because we're secretly buying a bunch of shit for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I kind of feel
like in Westworld.
In Westworld.
I kind of feel it's like a pharmaco kind of thing where like I'm getting a subsidized poor person tier of television, but I have to watch these experimental Jacob style mind control things. I don't know if they're working or not, but you know.
You know, like in all seriousness, I mean, obviously I was born in 82. I'm not that young.
You've seen commercials.
Yeah, I've seen lots of commercials. But it didn't take long for me to forget that I have to tolerate commercials until actually when we were doing our Star Trek Discovery pod on the CBS ad, I was like, the fuck just happened? What is this? And I was like, oh, commercials.
And it's funny because
I was so annoyed.
It used to be reality and now you get furious. You're like, what the fuck is this?
There were a few years there where... total strangers that just happened to be near me who I don't know were touring and everything. And and yeah, I did the same thing. Like the first time I saw a commercial, the first few times it happened, like after a couple, after like 3 years of this,
yeah,
they would blend straight through and I would have moments of like, who the fuck are these people and why are they on my, oh,
it's a commercial.
Not the show. That's a commercial.
If you go to like London or any foreign country, the commercials are the best part. Like I'm like getting through the show to get to the commercials. Fair. Yeah.
So speaking of experimental formatting though, YouTube Red has its, is it its first? It can't be its first original.
No. They've done original. I couldn't tell you what they
it's
are.
First
but
original
I know they've done original series
it's
before.
It's first original that's gotten attention from anyone.
Yes.
And that is Cobra Kai, the 34 years mm-hmm. later sequel to Karate Kid.
So apparently they've, I mean, as would be expected, Ralph Macchio over the years has had like 100 different sequel projects pitched to him.
Sure.
After the third movie. And like, let's bring it back now. And like, and all of them were not, he's like, all of them just kind of sounded trite and he just didn't want to do it. And this was the first one that came along where he went, oh, wait, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because as it's Cobra Kai. Like, yeah, they're not really following Daniel.
The pitch is, and we are following Daniel, though. I mean, he's definitely a co-star.
Bit. Yeah. But I mean, he's definitely in it, but.
The pitch is that Johnny Lawrence, the bully from the original, the Cobra Kai, the one who sweeps the leg, he has become sort of a, he's had kind of a shitty life. He like, he drinks too much. He cleans out people's gutters for a living. He's still driving his beat up old Firebird.
Yeah, kind of a shitty handyman.
Oh, from the original
man.
Movie?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That is awesome.
And
is,
oh, and it's the paint's fucked.
It is in the shape of a car you'd expect to have been driven for about 30 years.
Yeah. Oh. He's down in Coors Banquet and
yeah.
fixing shit.
And yeah,
he
looks he's having beer. A miserable life. And Daniel LaRusso. Is he owns a luxury car dealership. He's married. He's a couple kids. Mm-hmm. And he's doing these ads where he karate chops his prices.
They kick
and
the competition. Everybody gets a bonsai tree
everybody gets
when
a
you
bonsai
buy a car.
Tree.
No way.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. And so and Johnny is just steaming because he's seeing this guy on TV. Uh-huh. And they seamlessly interact with they interlace all this footage from Karate Kid and Karate Kid 2. Like they're definitely playing with like the – it opens with the end of Karate Kid.
Yeah,
showing the kick and all that kind of thing.
Did they reshoot that?
No.
Because I saw clips from that, and I was like, this looks like it was shot with new camera.
There's some really wonderful moments of that stuff. There's a point midway through the series where he's explaining to the kid, like the one student he has in his dojo, who is very – I mean, it's very much like – Johnny reopens Cobra Kai and he has one student and it's this lame neighbor kid with no dad. I mean, it's exactly fucking Daniel LaRusso and he's the drunk Coors Banquet swilling Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah.
And only he's teaching Cobra Kai.
Also, he's kind of a dick.
He's a complete fucking dick. And he's so tech unsavvy, it borders on insane.
Yeah.
but the show, like at one point he's telling the kid like why he hates Daniel LaRusso.
Yeah.
And like, you know, my girl and I, my coming up on the summer between, you know, junior and senior year, my girl and I had a fight and we broke up. But like, I figured we were going to work it back out by the time school started. And then this kid moves in and starts, you know, hitting on my girl. And I go down to confront him and out of nowhere, he sucker punches me. And it's showing the footage from the movie. And you know, you felt the threat of like Daniel's about to get his ass whooped and he had to come up and hit that kid. But you're watching it now going, oh shit, he did land the first punch.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of like, no, I remember y'all bullying him, but listening to Johnny retell it now, you're like, oh shit, that was high school for y'all and you're both adults now. And yeah, man.
Well, that's what's funny is that, it's like.
Oh, it's like Wicked.
It's very much the Wicked of Karate Kid.
I didn't think I wanted to see Johnny Lawrence, the bully redeemed. But I'm like, and the thing is, he's not fully redeemed.
No, he's
an asshole. He says something about like immigrants early on. He's definitely a guy who probably voted for Trump.
He like, doubles down on being an asshole a couple of times. Like,
and yet they do give him a little silver line. Like they bring in the people to the to, they bring in these kids. Like basically the kid he teaches stands up to his bullies and has this big karate fight, which is a pretty solid fight.
Yeah,
it's a well done fight scene. And then all these nerds who are being bullied show up to his dojo, and that becomes his group. And Johnny is just. He hates it. He needs the money, but he hates that these bullies are the people that these nerds are he has to teach, and he just belittles them and bullies them.
Yeah.
And is trying to teach them the Cobra Kai way of like no mercy, strike first, strike fast.
And you watch him have this positive Karate Kid style impact on these kids' lives where like this kid is getting picked on at school, and Johnny teaches him shit that allows him to, like, become the fucking man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He really is the Mac at school after this. And like, his crew is the shit.
Yeah.
And then you watch the needle tip, like, because Johnny's teachings are at their core, be the bully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Be the bully first so you can't be bullied.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you watch it tip the needle into, like, by the end of the 10 episodes, like, that kid's an asshole, like, and making some real asshole moves. You're really not sure where he's going to be in the second season.
And we're also watching Daniel with his, like, his daughter's dating the kid who bullies the new karate kid, the Cobra Kai kid.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, this kid is, like, coming off as a nice kid with his daughter. You know, he goes to the parents' house and it's all, you know, oh, gee,
he
Mrs. LaRusso.
Yeah.
And his daughter, his teenage daughter, is this interesting character. And Daniel starts thinking, like, he wants to get back into karate. He, like, reopens the dojo in his house and he's trying to get somebody to learn karate. And Johnny's kid, who is, like,
Johnny's a estranged kid who is running, like, short cons and shit.
And he goes to work for LaRusso Auto to piss off his dad.
But then
I assume he starts learning karate
It's
from
actually – all right. So this series is written by the guys responsible for, like, Hot Tub Time Machine.
Okay. So I was going to give you the –
that movie is magic.
So, I want to give you guys the credits.
It's not necessarily what I thought would, like, lend itself to a guaranteed win here.
I want to give you guys the credits. There are four writers listed. John Hurwitz and Hayden Schlossberg, who you might know from – all the Harold and Kumar movies.
Okay.
I fucking love
Harold and Kumar
movies.
I know. They're so much better than they needed to be. They're
Josh,
so good.
Josh Heald, who you might know from Hot Tub Time Machine 1 and 2.
Solid.
And Robert Mark Kamen, who you might know from the original Karate Kid.
Yeah.
And The Fifth Element, by the way.
What? Yeah.
So this thing's got an insane amount of heart. It really catches the vibe of the 80s movies. And I really found Johnny doesn't just get redeemed and learn his lesson. He's still complicated at the end of it. But the same way you watch this kid become confident and then an asshole, I get the feeling if they get a season two that we're going to watch it finally click for, like, the world's dumbest middle-aged man.
Yeah.
Like, that this is shitty teaching because he was a bullied kid.
Yeah.
He recognizes how shitty John Kreese, like, his sensei was.
Yeah.
And but you haven't seen it fully, like, click for him.
Right.
Like, it almost clicks, but you haven't seen
him, the world. Yeah.
Yeah. You haven't seen him fully realize, like, oh wait, I just did that to a kid. Shit.
Yeah.
But it's almost there. It's
so,
like,
so you think in season two he might be the man who will fight for our honor?
I think so.
Now we have two.
I really liked this. I did not expect to like this, and I liked it so much that I actually went for the YouTube Red 30 day.
I watched the whole.
You get a 30 day. You can get 30 day free, and then cancel it after that because YouTube Red is $10 a month, which is more expensive than Hulu.
Do they have on it besides this?
No ads on your YouTube show.
Now, YouTube TV. Which is separate, which is different. Okay. I think that includes YouTube Red.
Yeah,
but the free trial is much shorter.
40 channels?
Something like that. But the free trial is much shorter. So I went with just YouTube Red.
Hulu is busting into that, too. They're about to have 40 live channels if they don't already have it.
If you enjoyed Cobra Kai at all this week, today, actually, we also have an interview with Mary Mauser, who plays Samantha LaRusso. So that's up on the site now.
Can I just take a second to say, you are killing it with these interviews.
Yeah, let's talk about... What have you've done a bunch of interviews lately, and you got some more coming up. So what are some of the ones you wanted to run down?
Let's see. So we talked to Jimmy O Yang, who plays Jin Yang on Silicon Valley.
Yep.
Talked to William Jackson Harper, who plays Chidi on Good Place recently. I've got an interview coming up with Brett Pope, who is just recently on Roseanne.
Mm-hmm.
I just spoke to Amy Berg on basically 30 minutes of being weirdly spoilery about Counterpart. It's mostly just me guessing things and listening to how awkward the silence is and then judging if I'm right.
And I gotta say, if it wasn't for our Patreons, we wouldn't be able to fly you out for all of these interviews.
Patreon,
you really are keeping this ship a-going and keeping our man in first class.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, in some ways it sounds like Les is the ringer, but he isn't. It's the Patreons.
Right.
It really is.
Yeah, we never would have been able to buy the TV Dude copter if not for the Patreon money.
Exactly.
I just want the 50 cal on it now.
I just want one of those remotes you were talking about. I don't even need it to shoot bullets. It can shoot bubbles.
It's the size of a 90s cell phone, too, so it's like
the big sat phone.
And then, like, the helicopter comes up behind me. It's just you guys waving, like, hey, hey.
TV Dude's out.
Yeah, we're going to start dropping interviews on Mondays and Wednesdays because I have a backlog of like 7 interviews right now.
Nice. So yeah, woo-hoo. Make sure and follow those on the feed because we've got tons of interviews coming up. All right. So we want to talk. I think we covered Two Dubbed Queens. We talked about the first episode. And we didn't get it. We were not super into it.
Yeah.
We had
so,
a room full of white dudes who just didn't get this show. It's
yeah.
Fucked up.
So I've been gone for a little while.
Yep.
I was trying to learn too much math and couldn't watch TV.
Yeah.
And then I came back to check in with you dudes to see what you've been doing.
Uh huh.
And it turns out it was blasphemy.
Yeah, we fucked up. We fucked up, is what you're saying.
So it's okay. It's all right.
So school us. What's this show?
Okay. So Two Dope Queens. I was not even knowledgeable about their podcast. I hadn't really heard it. I knew, of course, Jessica Williams from the Daily Show, and just some of her work and like her little bits on like MTV and stuff like that. But that was really it. So it wasn't like I was super into the podcast yet. And then Phoebe Robinson. I just saw them like when I logged into our HBO account. It was just like, oh, you got to watch this. You're gonna love the shit out of it.
Did you see them at Moon Tower the other year? They were there last year.
Possibly.
They were good. I saw them live at Moon Tower, and that's why I was excited.
Yeah, they're hilarious.
Because they're hilarious, but I don't know, the show, it didn't work for me.
Okay, so it grabbed me immediately.
Okay, yeah.
So the show has this kind of format where the two of them kind of come out, and one of the things is that they always have these somewhat like kind of outlandish get-ups, like really like kind of fashionable things. They kind of talk about that. And I realized that I might have, because of the way it was listening in HBO, I might not have seen the pilot first. It was Black Nerds is what I saw first. Is that what you guys saw first?
I don't remember.
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I believe it was Jessica Williams comes out basically dressed like one of the characters from The Craft because she was watching a bit too much of a 90s girl movies.
I do not remember this.
No.
Okay, that's not good. And I was like,
I'll start
we're
there.
Done, girl. We're done. I was like, let me just go get me a box of wine. I set that shit down. I got some chips and salsa. I told Steven not to expect me for the next week. I watched all of it. All of it.
How many episodes are there?
There's not very many. Is there like 6?
Okay.
So it's pretty short. It's not super long. But what I loved about it, so obviously a big kind of theme in it, in this is also like if you follow them on Instagram, it's just like too many white dudes. It's kind of like they're
fair.
So fair. Too many white dudes. And so they really do a good job of kind of featuring different comedians. Mm-hmm. Rhea Butcher's on it. Just all kinds of different people. Aparna Nancharla is on it, whom I love. Yeah. I know you guys love her too. All the comedians she has on it are solid gold. But they have these kind of breakaway moments where they'll sort of set aside, this kind of long-running joke is that they drink a lot of rosé. And they always have these guests come out to like have like brunch or rosé with them. And it's people, everyone from like Sarah Jessica Parker comes out at some point.
Yeah.
One of their shoes like breaks and they're like, can we get a stagehand to fix her shoe? And like Sarah Jessica Parker comes out to fix her shoe and then they drink wine. But also like Titus Burgess comes out to like drink and like talk shit about people with them. It's like, so it's fabulous. And I really loved it, but my favorite episode, and it sounds like you guys might not have made it to it, was with Shang Wang, who it turns out is a writer for Fresh Off the Boat.
Okay.
I have never seen an episode of that show, but I am sold on watching every one of them after hearing his stand up.
Okay.
He killed it. He was so funny.
The thing I love,
I loved it.
I love a good stand-up variety show, but it felt kind of like watching friends fuck around. Where like they're having a great time, but I felt like I was being left out of it.
That's what episode one is. New York.
Oh, okay. So see, I accidentally watched them out of order.
Yeah. So Black Nerds is the fourth episode.
Okay. So Black Nerds is the first episode I saw.
Okay.
And
we should have done that.
I felt the same. I kind of felt like I didn't get this and was left out of it. I don't know.
Yeah.
So Jessica Williams is a nerd, but Phoebe Robinson is not. And so
I can see that.
When you said you didn't like the pilot, I thought that was the first episode you watched as well, which shocked me because we find out that she's hooked on Sims. Like, it's adorable. Like,
oh, yeah.
I celebrate their entire catalog.
Yeah. So because the first episode I did, I feel like it was like, oh, they're having a blast. I'd love to be there. But I don't want to watch it. It's like going to a party and watching everybody at the party.
It's like, how about some rosé for me?
Yeah, where's the rosé for
Maybe, so maybe we should get our friends and we should watch it.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think I should maybe we shouldn't have started with the first episode, weirdly. Like,
yeah, so I evidently watched them out of order.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm going to give that four a shot for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would give it another shot. Like, it's not, I mean, it's not a long series. Tig Notaro produces and, like, directs several episodes. Like, it just has so much, like, cameos and writing and, like, help.
Right.
Producing by like Jon Stewart and stuff. It just has so much going for it.
I just kind of figured too, their central theme, if, you know, there's a TV show that isn't aimed squarely at me, that's probably okay.
Yeah, that's probably
true
too.
There's the one.
Yeah, so it's like, so on their Instagram, they do these like, they kind of do like interviews with all sorts of people, but it's like, it is actually called like, Too Many White Dudes is the name of the little segment that they do. So, to be fair, if you watched it, it was like, I'm not sure this is for me. I don't think anyone would be crushed. I think it'd be like, yeah, maybe not, actually.
I kind of figured it wasn't the end of the world.
Yeah.
Well, in fairness, I wish people would make more entertainment for white dudes.
Yeah, it's almost... Really,
nobody makes anything for white dudes.
They really don't. It's like that demographic that's just like so left out.
I know, it's really
it's like
a shame.
You always got to have like a girl in there or like a not white dude.
I know. And then the little you're given, I'm always trying to take.
Right, yeah. I mean, if only like, you know, like... I know 95% of entertainment is made for white dudes, but why not like 99%?
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's unfair.
It is.
That's true.
It's this one show on HBO that you guys are mediocre on and wrong about. But no, I do think that there are some episodes. And so now I'm curious. I'll have to look at which one was the pilot because I actually –
They may
I
have started kind of weak. Maybe we should start, with episode four.
I think
four.
John Stewart.
John Stewart's
pizza.
In it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that was a later episode I watched.
Yeah.
And obviously, I mean, I don't need to gush about John Stewart. We all love him.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so if you guys are going to give it another try.
Black Nerds. And
I would give Black Nerds a try or the episode that Shang Wang is
Which
on.
Which is episode two, Hair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
all right.
So that episode is great, too. So Sarah Jessica Parker, I totally forgot about this segment. So when she comes out as like the joke stagehand who's going to fix one of their shoes. They do this thing where they establish safe space, and it's basically like that knowing you, knowing me bit or whatever that like has been done on other shows, where you can ask an honest question.
Okay.
And the show was about hair, and so Sarah Jessica Parker asks some honest questions about hair, and it's good. It's solid.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to dive into Westworld Episode 3, Season 2. Ashley, how are you on spoilers? Do you want to go hide in our lounge while we discuss Westworld?
I'm okay.
Some of these characters are robots.
Some of the characters are robots.
They're all Cylons. I know that already.
I had the best, like, didn't spoil it moment with Shannon because I was halfway through the episode. She comes home and sits down. And I turn around and I'm like, I don't know if you want to be in here. You know, you're going to spoil the whole thing. And she's like, oh, I'm not going to pay attention. Well, for the next 10 minutes of the show, every like 2 seconds, I'm like, oh, this is what this means. Like, and I didn't realize she walked out of the room right then. So I just was like explaining the TV show to myself for like the whole last part of that episode.
That is a patron episode waiting to happen.
Yes, Kyle wringing his hands, running over the wall and putting pushpins in, yarn, just muttering to himself.
Like Charlie Day and shit. Yes. He's like, okay.
And so if Teddy remembers this, then oh shit.
Maverick.
I was like, Kyle, when did you take up smoking? Gross.
So we see our first glimpse of a new park. Not even a glimpse, like a full-on opening.
The Raj.
British Raj world.
Yeah, the Raj.
Which, by the way, is so thematically in tune with what the show does.
Oh,
like the notion of the white colonials going in and just using a place for their own amusement is so on.
There was an article I saw about a week ago. I didn't read the entire thing, but the premise of it was that Westworld needs to acknowledge the implicit silent racism of Shogun World.
Yeah.
What fucking show have you been watching?
Yeah, it's the racism.
I
the implied
there.
Racism of Westworld
also,
itself. Like, all of these parks are...
Yeah, it's all like, a metaphor for racism.
Like,
No.
They don't have to do a special episode about Shogun World. They're doing the show.
We were just talking about this at dinner, Randy, where we were actually talking about it in reference, I think, to Black Panther.
Yeah.
Yeah, where somebody was like, yeah, you know, that Killmonger was actually kind of right. It was kind of the subversive take. And we're like,
yeah, congratulations on understanding the movie.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the movie. That's
why he's a great villain.
Yes. So he's not the Joker. Yeah. You watched the whole film. Good for you.
But I loved the colonial world stuff. I love the way it opens.
Well, and immediately, like, I nerded out when they cut to – I thought it – I kind of wondered it when the tiger – washed up on the shore. Yeah. But as soon as they cut to like everybody drinking tea in their white tents, I had that moment of like, oh, fuck, they're in the Raj.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and what I realized, like that really kinky moment with the gun where she shoots him, I was like, oh, my God, in a world where you can like fuck all these robots, like fucking a real person is probably the hottest.
Yeah.
Right.
That was, well, that's what I was like. I was talking with a friend about this. Like, there's people who get into like edge play in our world, like knives and shit. There's mm-hmm. no gun play in our fetish world, but in robot world, you can fuck around with guns.
Well, I guarantee Ed Harris is not the only person to get weird.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure not.
I just want that to be a sound bite. Just hard stop. Ed Harris is not the only guy to get weird. He's not the first. He's not going to be the fucking last, I'll tell you.
I mean,
that.
He started out as Jimmy Simpson and aged into this. Like,
yeah.
How fucked up has he gotten in the
it's
interview?
It's not like they only made one of those black hats.
Yeah.
I can't explain it. You got me. Yeah, the whole fucking room was built for that. Choose now, bitches. Like, white hat or black hat, it's you.
So then they're looking for Peter Abernathy, a.k.a. Dolores' father.
Mm-hmm. Which
apparently seems to be to have been turned into a he's transmitting
a flash
some kind
drive.
Of information. Yeah,
yeah. No, do you,
a flash drive.
Now, you remember the scene where Tessa Thompson walked the Wussy Rider guy?
Yeah,
out into the like, hey, this is what you're going to do to survive, and it tells him like you need to hollow out the personality. These robots hold a ridiculous amount of information,
right?
And we're going to smuggle that body out.
Yeah. The question is, who are they smuggling? Like, is it Delos? Is it somebody else? Is it another company? Like, what the information is, and who are they getting it to?
Is this a crew? Like, is this a separate cadre within Delos trying to do something else with it?
Right.
Like, what's the end game? We've seen drone hosts now.
Yeah, yeah.
We know that Jimmy Simpson's father, the original Delos head, is sick.
Yeah.
And so at what point...
Is there a power play within the corporation?
At what point are we Freejack transferring consciousness into these bodies?
Yeah.
We didn't get any Jimmy Simpson this episode, did we?
We did not. They do a little – like there was a little bit light Maeve too. Maeve has been sort of a little bit absent these last few episodes.
Yeah, this episode was heavier on Dolores and Living Arnold.
Yeah, Dolores and Living Arnold.
Although – which we can get to it chronologically, but I'd love to talk about Maeve here in a second.
Yeah, let's talk about Maeve.
No, I feel like this episode gave us like – I don't know. How do I form this idea? Okay. Have you seen the movie Attack the Block?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
One of the things, like the underrated things about that movie is the costume design, how they just took like five kids in street clothing, but were able to give them like identifiable enough like traits with their hats and their jumpers and all this. When Maeve assembles her team, okay, it is Maeve who's just like looking sexy in this black dress. She's got the writer guy. He's dressed up like a little farmhand, like carrying around a donkey when we get to them. We meet back up. We get our two technicians back in the fray, and they've got that awesome outfit with the red sleeves on there.
Yeah.
And then just a badass killer cowboy. And when you see this group walking around together, you're like, oh, that is the poster. That is Halloween costumes next year. Like, this is my team. Like, I don't care about anything else in the show. I just want this team to win.
Was it episode two or was it this episode where Maeve and Dolores first really run into each other?
It was last episode where Maeve was kind of like, fuck off.
I love the two, similar to the, you know, Killmonger was right, like the two competing ideas of what freedom means for the robots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Maeve looking at her like, well, since you're protecting liberty, you'll have to let me pass.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I can do what I want.
Yeah.
That's what you're fighting for.
Oh, but we get a little bit of a twist this episode. We find the limit of Maeve's powers.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. She can't control all of the hosts in this world. That there are some hosts, and it does make you wonder, like, okay, why can't she control these hosts, but she can control
right? Her. So, and what exactly is the Ghost Tribe programmed for? Because they're just fucking killing machines.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the Ghost Tribe, at the very least, is programmed to kill and reboot robots.
Yeah,
Like they're creating that system. I mean, why else would you have a death cult and a bunch of robots that you need to kill a bunch of times and have remember it?
Yeah,
and
that's true.
In order for them to, as part of their wake up, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But. I love that somebody froze the tablet in season one when Maeve first ups her programming and everything.
Right,
And that's when it got revealed for sure that her going back for her kid and deciding that her made-up kid is now her cornerstone, that's the first free will she exhibited. Leaving the park is part of her job.
Yeah.
She's programmed to infiltrate the mainland and get information because Arnold or whoever... she says something in season one about like ancient code waking up inside me. Who's Arnold?
Right.
And so like she was programmed to do this from the start. And this whole revolution is technically just part of their program storyline.
Right.
Like all the shit that's happening to Ed Harris, like with the that was badass. The whole when he's trying to recruit his army.
Yeah.
I love that Ford's left a game to fuck with him.
That was such a good play on that refrain. Okay, so I've seen through the second episode of this season. So that was such a great play with that refrain, like, this isn't for you. And then when he shows up there, he's like, oh, this is for you.
Yeah, this game is behind you.
They, like, shoot themselves in the head. I was like, yes.
Yes.
You gotta do this alone. Yeah, I fucking loved it.
It was solid.
Yeah. I also, I was glad to see the text back. Speaking of Maeve's story, like to see those guys come back was good.
Well, and I feel like the story with that group too is kind of getting going one step further because, and I'm bad with these character names, but the badass cowboy, and then his girl with the tattoos,
Okay.
The writer,
I was glad to see her too.
Yeah, but the writer is sitting there telling him like, "Oh no, I know you," and he's even like telling him the dialogue before he says it,
right?
And he's like, "You're not supposed to fall in love with Maeve. You're supposed to fall in love with Tattoo Girl,"
right?
And he's like, "I do whatever I want," and then Tattoo Girl shows up, and you see him just like, "Ooh." And I'm
to
like,
be fair, though, we all did that.
Yeah,
I mean, that doesn't mean that we don't love Maeve.
That's true.
I also, the attack on the fort was a cool ass battle scene.
Yeah.
Using the machine guns and the look the soldiers get when the cars pull up, they're like, they've never seen shit like that before.
Yeah. You know, I found something interesting watching that scene, and it's how the show chooses to treat guns.
Yeah.
So obviously, if you're in Westworld, you have like a period appropriate gun. It's not anything modern to it at all.
Right.
But when you look at the modern guns, they look more like a stapler or like some type of a surgical tool designed just for putting these robots down.
Yeah.
And I like the idea that we can have these badass action scenes with guns, but they don't show a bunch of bros out there with, you know, their semi-autos. Like,
no, you're right. They're a tool.
Yeah, man.
They're a tool. They're they're just to put robots down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right.
And they don't even really look like guns outside of, you know, like they have kind of a flat front on there with just like a really small... over that. I don't know. I just found that kind of interesting. I wonder if that's a conscious choice they've made.
Yeah.
It also makes the Westworld guns look cooler too because stark contrast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved the echoing of lines this season of like Arnold having Dolores in the real world and her saying, "You know, have you ever seen anything so splendid, you know, the stars scattered across the ground." And he says, "Oh, you get used to it. After a while, it doesn't look like anything at all," which is what all the robots say whenever they encounter anything that they can't see that would hurt them, as Ford puts it. And like they're echoing that stuff a lot. Like, I love the constant Violet Delights.
The Violet Delights have that showed up in Raj World, that's like a virus.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that. Those Violent Delights have violent ends. That's what's part of the rebellion.
They stuck with the Shakespeare quote, "Call to Rebellion." That's fucking awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I found it – I really like what the show did this week. You know, I talked – I don't know if it was last week or week before that, but I was saying how I'm not giving season two a pass just because season one was really badass. And in fact, by the end of episode two, I was kind of like looking for something to get me interested again. Like I see the mysteries. I see what they're doing. But the thing that really got me interested this episode was with the tiger. You know, we find out, you know, the tiger has made it over here.
Yeah.
And we're talking about it. Like, oh, maybe it escaped her. But no, what they tell us in this episode is we told you the tiger was there, but we didn't tell you that there was this much bigger story.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just the tiger escaping. And I hope that means some of these other things that we've seen, we're going to find they're going to have just as much of an elaborate story to unfold over the...
I definitely want to see... I mean, this ends with Samurai World in the distance. We're going to see Samurai World next episode.
Yeah, so I would love to find out that Ford was involved in all the parks, and we were just watching his Westworld bits from season one, but that he implemented this plot line
across
in
all of them,
all the parks.
Yeah.
Because how is it spread to the Raj?
Right.
Also, I don't want to go into a show this much. I mean, that's saying a lot. I don't want to nerd into a show this heavy, but someone discovered the Raj a year ago.
Yeah.
In the Delos website, the fake website they set up for the fake fucking corporation that runs this show, right? In the JavaScript of the Delos website, in the JavaScript code, there are single images buried that form an animated GIF that's like 60 or 70 images long or something like that.
Oh, man.
And it's this Flickr fucked up code with like squares missing and bits out and shit that you can barely read Raj World. And so some dude found it like 8 months or a year ago or something like that and put it on Reddit, which like the Reddit community for this show has guessed whole plot.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
But
I went to the South By panel this year. The team that puts all that together, they call it transmedia marketing, mm-hmm. where they create the website and they hide those things in the code. And it was just fascinating listening to him talk about
it. So there's an argument about that. Apparently the guy that found it was like, I sincerely think that they were intending to put Raj World images up at one point and did not mean this to still be buried in the code, that like it was so spread out that it didn't feel like a game anymore. Like he just found this. Now, in one of the new websites they put up, there are like 6 or 7 more of these that are obscenely more complex. And
nice.
So now they're pretty sure that even if they did the first one accidentally, that the show is now doubling down on doing it on purpose to reveal the other parks.
Well, no, I can tell you for certain there are 4 people whose job it is to come up with shit like this. So I could totally see where, like, you and I have jobs like that. You know, stuff like that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think they're spending a lot of money because they want there to be a next step. When the episode ends and you've watched the, you know, next week, they want those people like this guy to be able to go out there and have something to fuck around with and have a little puzzle to play with. It's within the spirit of the show, and it makes them, you know, talk about the show more. Gets us to talk about the show more.
Yeah.
We're freaking making them rich buying all their shit.
Yeah. Listener question time. So every week, if you go to Facebook, I post a questions post, usually on Monday. I talk about what shows we're going to watch and tell you guys to send us some questions. Sometimes, like this week, I completely change the post on Tuesday. But fortunately, none of the questions were about the shows, the FX shows we were going to cover. In fact, a lot of them are Westworld related. But we start with one that is not, and it's a Kyle Volte, and it's a great one. So Kyle Volte says, okay, TV dudes, it's a little known fact, but Thanos the Mad – first of all, this question is what I would consider a spoiler for the end of Infinity War. So if you have not seen Infinity War or you don't know the big ending of Infinity Gauntlet, the comic, skip past this question. Skip about 5 minutes in the future. All right. Okay, TV dudes. It's a little known fact that Thanos the Mad Titan also hates peak TV. It's unsustainable. And besides, his DVR keeps filling up and erasing episodes of Yes, Say Yes to the Dress before he can watch them. And you know Carol from Accounting is going to spoil them before he gets a chance to see them. So he is leaving it to the whims of fate. One broadcast network, one premium cable channel, and one streaming service are all that will remain after he snaps his fingers. You, TV dudes, are the whims of fate. What remains?
Easy.
Yeah? What do you save?
Well, here's the thing. You can't think about the ones you're going to lose. You just got to think about the ones you're going to save.
Yeah, what are you going to save?
Obviously, HBO is coming with.
Sure.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yep. FX. I'm sorry.
We share a brain.
Yeah. Oh, wait. And then I think NBC's a no-brainer. And if it's not, Donald Glover sealed it for me, so.
Wait a minute. NBC, that's your broadcast network?
That's what I do for broadcast, yeah.
Well, then you lose FX.
Yeah.
You get one broadcast network.
Wait, I thought that was a premium cable channel.
One broadcast, HBO's one premium, and one streaming service.
Well, I was counting HBO as my streaming.
Right. Yeah, so it's
HBO's my streaming.
Oh, HBO's a premium cable.
What?
Yeah.
I don't understand how this system works.
HBO's a premium cable.
Oh, wait. With streaming, Hulu. Duh.
No.
We hacked your question.
Netflix.
But you get all of the
But you don't get any Netflix originals. It's Netflix, man. The amount of stuff Network shows you versus the amount of stuff Netflix. No, Netflix. FX, Networks, HBO is my answer. Les, what do you think?
Yeah, FX definitely for the channel.
Yeah, I think that's.
Lose The Good Place, and that's rough. That is the Spider-Man.
Honestly,
oh no, you don't lose it because it then comes back to Netflix the next season. Okay, I'm going Netflix.
Yeah. Netflix for the streaming service, just because whatever good content gets killed by the other streaming services dying, Netflix will just pick it up. and what's what
it's where I watch Terriers?
You got a streaming service. You got a premium cable, so. Showtime, HBO. I mean, there's really no context, right?
It's HBO. I want to watch High Maintenance.
For sure.
Now,
I mean, maybe if you're like a bonerhead, you want Stars, but
hard mode is if you say only HBO is a streaming service, Then you got then you're screwed. Then you're like, you got to do you lose HBO or Netflix? That's tough.
Oh, I lose HBO.
Really? I don't think I do. I think HBO's got so many of my favorite shows.
I think the living would envy the dead.
Previous point stands. Netflix will pick up anything.
Yeah, I got to drop HBO.
Yeah, I would keep Netflix, I think.
Interesting.
I get that British TV.
Yeah.
All right. Everybody ready for Westworld questions?
Oh, yeah.
Jonathan Habmichael says, hi, dudes. Westworld has 6 parks, and we have seen at least parts of 3, American Wild West, Japanese Shogunate, and Colonialist India. Assuming that Roman world and future world exist, what romanticized version of a region area do you want the last park to be? Bonus points if you can add metaphor like how India world had almost all hosts be Indians serving wealthy, predominantly white guests. So if he's right, if those are the 5, because Roman world and future world are from the movies, what's the 6th world?
We also have accepted the book.
The book. I don't read books.
That's fair.
Well, and Raj World was just dead on accurate.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. What do you get in? Yeah. I mean, Roaring Twenties.
Gatsby World.
Gatsby World would definitely work, especially with the notion of sort of excess and material wealth.
Ooh,
and that kind
what
of thing.
About like Manor House, party type.
What?
Like English.
Gosford Park.
Yeah, English.
Like upstairs, downstairs,
you know,
world. Yeah.
Upstairs, downstairs world. Yeah.
I'm going to take that layup you just tossed up there, parlay that with, I'm going to call it Cloud World. It's where it's all hot air balloons. dudes in twirly mustache. It's kind of the same motif as Ashley's world.
Like Ty.
Yeah. Well, like all steampunky, but like in the cloud. Like Water World, but in the cloud.
Does everybody have a tramp stamp? Because it sounds like everyone might have a tramp stamp.
Everybody has a tramp stamp with trick ink that like does different stuff in black lights.
How many dreadlocked white girls wearing goggles are there?
What?
4.
A lot.
There's
several.
At least 4. There's several.
Yeah. Well, every March 11th, they have 311 day at the park. And,
yeah, there really is.
What's weird is, what if they go nostalgia? What if there's like 60s world? Like the turbulent 60s.
That's the thing. Like, I think some of these, like, I feel like a cyberpunk world would work, but not for the rich clientele it would take to do this.
But I think,
like, I think there has to be a particular sweet spot for racist and good old days. So Caligula world, I definitely see.
Oh, Caligula world, but that's Roman world. That's Roman world.
Yeah, so Roman world, I definitely get. But like medieval times, I could see something like that.
Yeah,
like, where you get to be castle and feudal lord. But
yeah.
I don't think they would do it, and I don't want to get into like a bigger Westworld conversation, but I do think it's kind of neat if you kind of did something similar to what they did the first season with the twist. If you had Future World, but you find out Future World is really just a flashback to what essentially is the future, like when they create the park, but it's the past for this.
Right. Yeah.
And then maybe we find
out. So Future World has this quaint Tomorrowland vibe.
Oh, yeah.
For tourists now.
Like 50s atomic punk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so like they're flying around, like, but that's not the real world. Yeah, that'd be.
Anyone else at this point? There's only 6. Like, Jetson's I want there world. To be 100 of these.
What was the underwater video game where you're like.
Echo the Dolphin?
No. Yes, that was the one I was thinking of. No, like,
did you ever make it to level 2 in Echo the Dolphin?
I've never played Echo the Dolphin.
I've never figured out what the fuck I was supposed to do in that game.
That's because you have to be a dolphin to play it.
Okay, fair.
No, the underwater city that was like steampunky and it was like a whole...
Bioshock. Yeah.
I do like a Bioshock world.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you're talking about atomic, I was kind of thinking like Fallout, but with maybe less death.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of look.
Well, since it's Westworld, it'd have to be more death.
Yeah,
and more
true.
Boobs.
I kind of like to imagine. Like, I would love to see a show
so
where it seems like Lost, where it just seems like a bunch of people on a fucked up magical island, but actually they're on the island where, like, all the spare parts and extra crap from the 6 parks are kept. So, like, you're on this insane island of misfit toys and shit. You can't figure out, like, why, like... Julius Caesar walked by, like it's Riverworld. All these weird historical figures going by. And like you think you're in one problem, but no, you're literally just in like the carny backlot for
you're
fucking Westworld.
Jeff Goldblum's there.
Running shit.
It'd be like in the back of a living Madame Tussauds. Yeah.
Yeah, Goldblum should be the Anthony Hopkins for that world.
Yeah.
I think that Jeff Goldblum might be the Anthony Hopkins of our world.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
He's come a long way from Death Wish.
All right.
He really has.
Alejandro Rey Zapata says, if you guys were stuck in the Westworld versions of your favorite shows, how would you try and escape once the robots turn evil using items and situations from the show? So how would I escape Terrier's world? I would let Hank fuck up and I would escape. That's easy. So he's going to fuck up. He's going to accidentally let me out and then I win. No problem.
I'm going to escape Billions World by always siding with Chuck.
That's a good call.
Yeah, because anybody who tries to, like, fuck with Chuck, yeah.
This is why I love being a giant genre fan, because middle world?
Yeah.
Like middleman world?
Oh, why would you want to escape?
No, exactly. All I got, I mean, that's just a random episode. Like, just hang close enough to MM and W and you'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to escape Bob's Burgers by explaining to Luis that if I get the chance, I'm going to stab her in the fucking back, so she better sleep with one eye open. But since we're each other's best bet, we better band together.
Why the back? Why aren't you doing the front? I
feel
watch
like
that.
She'd get it better.
Respect it more. Yeah.
Yeah, she'd respect it more.
I was trying to do her voice. You know, it's a guy who does that voice.
Oh, that's adorable. Now that I know, I'm so sad I missed it. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we were, we'll be drenched in blood, but the last two alive.
Yeah, I think that's true. Alec Miracle says, the second to last show you watch determines your road trip companions. You must choose two people from that show and take a drive to Yellowstone to see the landscape before the supervolcano blows its cork. Who do you choose? And optional bonus question, what will be your vehicle of travel? Okay, the last show I watched was Cobra Kai. Mm. The second last show I watched was, appropriately enough, Westworld. So if I'm choosing two companions from Westworld, I'm taking Maeve and I'm taking Dolores, and we're definitely riding horses.
Nice.
And I feel like that's going to be a fun, until they murder me for being human, that's going to be a great ride.
Mm-hmm. I'm still stuck back on really, really wanting Drenched in Blood, Last One Alive as my epitaph.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
It's, you know, there's going to be something written on my tombstone, and it's not going to be that good. I'll tell you that. It'll be like that time the bus got her.
Like the Royal Tenenbaum, you know, died saving orphans from sinking battleship.
So my second to last was Billions.
Okay.
Easy one. Yep. If you watch this week, or by the time you're listening to this, if you watched this week's. Muffy, he's definitely going to be
who?
There. Muffy.
Oh, okay.
And Taylor. And we'd go on Taylor's jet.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I think a really interesting ride is if you take Chuck and you take Axe. And then they bicker the whole time, road trip style.
But that, here's the thing, though. I feel like Muffy would be more fun to, like, hang around with, and Taylor would just teach you a ton of stuff.
It's true.
Axe would make it about him, or he'd be, like, preoccupied. And Chuck scares me.
Yeah, should.
Fair.
Should. Ashley?
So the second to last show I watched was Venture Brothers.
Oh,
nice. Because the world is unjust, it turns out my boyfriend never watched that. Mm-hmm. And so I started remedying it immediately, if not sooner.
It was that a breakup?
Yeah, exactly.
Let me
save you.
Yeah,
well,
he doesn't know who Shallow Gravy is.
You
got to fix that.
Yeah, don't you live a little outside the city, Les? Can I, just in case we ever need to dig a shallow grave? I would choose Orpheus and Brock Sampson, obviously.
Yeah.
We would be taking Brock Sampson's charger.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming because it is his car that we'd be listening to Zepp the whole way.
So the second to last show I watched was Elementary.
Okay.
So I would take Holmes and Watson. I'm pretty sure Watson would like stay
Lady
on her
Watson.
Phone. Yeah, Lady Watson. I think Lucy Liu would probably just stay busy with some, like, she'd probably be doing taxes or something. Like, she's boring as shit on that show. Holmes would just be cynically fascinating about everything. Like, I can't tell if it'd be the worst road trip ever or fantastic, but I think I'd learn a lot.
Yeah, it'd be an educational experience.
And then probably shove him into something horrible. National parks are a great place to disappear a body.
That's true.
I've heard. This keeps escalating quickly, you guys.
It's a murder?
Yeah. It really does. It always lands in murder.
They do. Google national park disappearances. They really are fantastic. A lot of people go missing.
It's hard to cover all that ground. Yeah. I watched The X-Files. There, who knows what's living in those woods?
I sound way too excited about this. I'm just saying, I heard a thing today that the Chinese governments are using facial recognition software for their police departments now, and that U.S. departments are leaving. So I'm just saying, if you don't think there's a place to hide, parks.
Yeah.
They're the libraries of the outside.
Well, our government's doing their best to get rid of national parks, so maybe that's what that whole plan is about.
Yes, too many people disappeared in bears' ears. That's where they found Michael Cohen.
Ken Ibanez says, hey, dudes, I was just in the Austin area and had Round Rock Donuts, the so-called best donuts ever.
Yeah.
They were okay.
Yeah, I'd agree.
I really like Round Rock Donuts, but yeah, I've had better.
Oh, yeah. Randy shouts their praises.
They're great. Weird yellow they're great. Color. But they're just donuts.
That's your spot, though.
They don't cure cancer. I know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, too soon.
Shit got real.
No, but speaking of people hyping things up and then not being as good as people say they are, what was a show that someone said was really good, but you just found okay?
Game of Thrones.
Tell me you only watched the first episode.
No.
First
he
four.
Watched. He gave it a shot. Les did not connect with Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I've seen other people where it's like season one's a slow burn for them. You get through season one, though, you're hooked for life.
Is it different than D&D I've played? Because it just seems like everybody else in America never saw a fantasy show ever.
Well, probably a lot more sex.
Like Lord of the Rings happened. I mean, everybody's aware that like...
No, but Lord of the Rings is nothing compared to Game of Thrones. I don't like a lot of Lord of the Rings.
Wow, I just feel like we're dropping a lot of bombs and they all need right. more time to explore than
reality.
I have.
Yep.
So
it's
first of all, I love Game of Thrones. I love the books. Yep. I love the show. I don't think we need to... We don't need to choose. We can love Lord of the Rings. We can love Game of Thrones.
Nope, choose. One of them is going to die.
But the looks on the faces when Les said Game of Thrones without batting an eye was gold. Because it took me by surprise, and I think I physically sat back. And then I looked over at Randy and Kyle, and they had looks on their faces like they misheard.
No, it's like they watched me fuck my sister.
See, no.
I was just like,
well, that's also Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Which Lisa tells me I can't make these references.
And your D&D is like Game of Thrones.
So here's the thing. This is the thing I know about Les. I know that he's given it a shot. I know he doesn't like it. So it's not that I wasn't surprised. I wasn't angry. I was just disappointed.
At this point now, it's just funny for me to keep bringing it back up. Like,
oh, no.
There's nothing wrong with it. It just didn't grab me.
It's just funny because, like, so I don't know if y'all do this. I'm sure because I know you guys are dorks about your media. It's probably the same thing. But I get, like, actual crushes on fictional characters.
Oh, well, that leads to the next question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... I actually love Tyrion. It might be creepy. Like, oh, Game of Thrones. Everybody's like, we need to talk about this, sir. That was rude.
So I'm trying to think of a show that I like, that I feel is like overhyped. Because I'm sure there are some. Like, I didn't love Mad Men at first, but I did kind of come around on it. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the closest. I know there's some shows that people love that I don't love.
Well, wait. Is the question something that everybody loves that you thought was okay or something that is overrated? Because there are even shows I like that I'm like, yeah, it's a good show. But people are like, no, you love it or nothing.
Yeah. The show that said it was really good but found okay. And that's a good point because I feel that way about American Gods. I liked American Gods. It was fine.
That's how I felt.
I don't care if it comes back.
Okay,
I'm
going
to have to defend it.
I'm really surprised it's coming back, frankly.
Yeah.
You're what?
I'm really, with the loss of the showrunners, I'm surprised it's coming back. But
yeah. Interesting.
I'm a super fan of that book. Like, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like,
same.
Like when I was...
Oh, see, I didn't read the book before I watched the show.
Okay, so some of the issues I had, I thought the show was fine. I thought it lacked direction. Like it was all over the map.
Yes.
Yeah. And sometimes mm-hmm. that map was traveling by map, like they're the Muppets, which I didn't like. But what I found kind of interesting is that so everybody loves Neil Gaiman. We all agree he's an excellent storyteller. He delivered, and I don't want to do any spoilers, but he delivered to them with a neat little bow, a beautiful ending to this story. Mm-hmm. And the first season, I feel like, kind of wrote them out of it, which would be fine. People can have creative liberties. But when I think of the showrunners and the writers of the American Gods shows, and I think of their strengths and weaknesses – endings aren't their fucking strengths.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Bold move, guys. Bold move. But I did like the show. I enjoyed it.
It was fine.
But I thought it was fine.
Actually, yeah, I didn't care for the ending at all. I mean, I'm curious
to
see.
Oh, I mean the big
ending.
Ending.
Oh, like where the ending really is.
Right. So, like, you think about, like, Lost. Like, there were, like, neat little, like, things every now and then. But at the end, mm-hmm. you were like, do you know where you're going? Because I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
The big arc of that story has a punch in the gut. Kind of awesome kind of ending.
Like, how the fuck did I not see this, and how could anything else have happened? And
do you have a show that you found just good that was like overhyped for you, or Kyle, either one of you guys had your
my
answer
already? Gonna sound
I was already
like
judging your guys's and come up with my own.
Well, Kyle, let's hear yours.
No, my serious answer, even though it did introduce me to kind of Grant's love for TV, but Lost.
Yeah.
And I mean, he built a monument towards it. So, I mean,
yeah, Grant
pinch
overhyped.
Even if it's the best thing ever, he went a step further.
And he's not here, so we can talk all the shit we want about it.
I actually agree with you. I liked it fine, but I was like, whatever.
I didn't watch it when it aired live. I feel like maybe I'd have been one of those people if I watched it live. But when I went back to binge it, I'm like, all right, I'm digging it, but these are hour long episodes.
The first two seasons, I binged like nothing I'd ever seen on TV. And, but then it ran another. What, 3 or 4 years?
I think the thing about Lost is you had to be watching it in real time as it was coming out, because at the time it was kind of revolutionary. It was doing sci-fi and it had moment-to-moment writing like no sci-fi it had at that point. But if you compare it to where we are now on peak TV, it's not as strong. It's not – it doesn't do – it's kind of like – I remember going back to read some of Will Eisner's stuff. And Will Eisner's like a comics god, but everything he'd done has been taken and used and influential on other people. And so it didn't seem as fresh and as new to me because I'd seen the offspring of all that writing. And I think that's the problem with things like Lost. If they're revolutionary at the time and you talk about how revolutionary and amazing they are, but then you go back to them a few years later and it's like everybody's incorporated those parts of the buffalo into their show.
Yeah.
And so all you're seeing is dismembered buffalo.
I mean, I'm not saying Hill Street Blues wasn't great, but if you want to watch The Shield, it's not really going to scratch that itch.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So I think for me, this might fall into that category of I liked it. I thought it was fine, but maybe it got overhyped. And so now I'm like, eh. I feel that way a little bit about Silicon Valley.
Okay. I can see that.
Yeah. So I actually like it. I think it's fun. I think it's a good show. Yeah. I watch it from time to time.
Yeah.
But then when I'm around a certain friend who's just like a diehard, I'm kind of like, okay. I just don't.
Yeah. I think if you worked in Silicon Valley, you work in tech, I think it has jokes are working on another level.
So I worked in tech for 10 years.
You worked in tech.
And then I left it.
Is that maybe that's the reason? Is like you know that world and it's not funny. That's just not funny.
Like, huh.
I held off on that show for so long, and it wasn't until like two friends watched it like real quick of like, holy shit, this is great, that I binge watched all four seasons in like a week or two. And so now I'm caught up. And binge watching them, it was exceptional.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because like it
the
would set up the
layered, yeah, yeah
well and each episode would set up and fail at something just stunning and leave you in
the
this
entourage
other...
formula.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
we got the movie.
And so like it really lent itself to it's exactly it's entourage for
it's entourage for
ugly
nerds.
Losers.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is a little bro-y. It
yeah,
can get
it's
a little
very
bro-y.
Fucking, so is Silicon Valley.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about Silicon Valley.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Entourage
program.
No. I mean like so is the real place.
Oh yeah.
Industry.
Yeah.
You guys didn't like Two Dope Queens, and I'm a little cold on your bro-y ass show. This actually kind of makes sense.
I think we've cracked the code.
You know what? A little knowing you, it's me.
It's Silicon Valley's aimed at nerdy white dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
Kumail.
I don't know anybody. Yeah. All right. Ross Brown says, two characters from two different shows you'd love to see meet. I'd go with Gretchen from You're the Worst and Mickey from Love. They'd murder each other. But it'd be hilarious to watch.
It's always about murder with you three.
But Gretchen actually would. Gretchen stabbed her husband because she was bored. Because she's the worst. And also one of my favorite characters.
Not Gretchen.
Not Gretchen.
Lindsay. Lindsay's the worst.
Yeah, you're right. Lindsay's the worst. Gretchen is merely bad. Two characters from two different shows you would love to see meet. Let's see. I'm going to jump to Silicon Valley because we had that. I want Jonah Ryan and Ehrlich Bachman to meet.
Ah.
I think the two of them would really hate each other.
That would be a great spinoff.
Yeah. The two of them just like running up the people the most hated that nobody wants to deal with. The two of them like running a consulting firm in Silicon Valley for politicians.
This may just be because I'm caught up in season 5 on Silicon Valley now, but I kind of want to see Jared meet Maeve.
Oh, my God. Maeve would totally own Jared. He would do everything
he'd be
for her.
In love, though. He's been on emotional accidents.
Yeah.
Who is Paperboy's guy in Atlanta, his right-hand man?
Oh, it's Lakeith, but what's the character's name?
Not Donald Glover's character.
No. His real name's Lakeith, but I'm blanking. Hang on. I'm looking it up. Who else do you want to see him meet?
Buster from Arrested Development. And they just kind of talk about. Well, actually, no. I'm thinking of this character from
Darius.
Yeah, it's a Darius.
Although I think I'd rather him meet Buster.
And Darius and Buster. Oh, man. That'd be great. Yeah. Ashley, you got any too?
Huh. I don't know. I know. Now I like have the shows we were kind of thinking about already. I really feel like Tyrion and Maeve could fix a few things in the world.
Tyrion and Maeve would fix a lot of shit. It'd be bloody.
It would, but you know what? Justice would
end
be
of
served.
The day. Yeah. End of the day.
I'd love a really dramatic scene where Tyrion's like, I'm a dwarf, and Maeve's like, I'm a robot. It can never work.
Gary Busey in Space Ghost.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Aw, Colbert in Space Ghost.
Yes.
Really
I'm
just
I'm thinking
Ghost.
Like I'm with Busey, Gary Busey, and only Space Ghost instead of that poor kid.
Jonathan Huffnagel to close us out. Good evening, TV dudes. What TV cast do you think should be thrown into a plot from a horror movie? What kind of horror movie plots would you wish to subject your chosen cast to and why? Also, who would die, who would be the secret killer, and who would survive? My imaginative inquiries never die and live long enough to see themselves become the final girl.
I'm going to go with Roseanne on this one.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, because they would appreciate it. They love Halloween.
Yeah, sure.
Second of all, I love them, but I'm a little bitter these days.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, obviously. Yeah. There's so many secret killer options. I think Dan would make a great one. Yeah. I think Darlene would make a great one.
Yeah.
I feel like Roseanne's the obvious one, but might be her sister.
Man, Dan being the killer would be so great.
It would be.
The jolly killer.
Is Dan the kid from Big Bang Theory?
No, Dan is John Goodman.
John Goodman. Okay. Is the kid from Big Bang Theory on Roseanne?
He's not on the new one, is he?
Or is he not on the new one?
So I know the general plot lines for the most recent episodes and that kind of thing. And I've seen her interviews. I think she was on Kimmel. I think she did an interview on Kimmel. So I haven't seen full episodes.
Okay.
I was like, kid is going to be in a horror movie, though.
What kind of horror movie would you throw them in? Just regular slasher? Aliens?
No, you know what? I'm torn. On the one hand, I want a classic like Friday the 13th because I really feel like suburbia in like the 80s, I really feel like that works.
Yeah.
But then also because I'm pretty sure everyone on that show might be a genre fan, like legit, and they had all those episodes in Classic Roseanne about Halloween, I feel like they could do a really good Scream type thing where it breaks the fourth wall a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I think It's Always Sunny.
Those are always you can throw those guys are so good for all these questions.
Any of these answers, yeah. always.
What horror movie you throw them into?
So the type of genre would be a your next Hush kind of like home trapped invasion. In a house home invasion type thing.
Is it at the bar?
But it, yeah, obviously they'd all be trapped at the bar trying to figure out who the killer is. They would find all these bodies, which would turn out to be Dennis from a completely unrelated ongoing killing spree.
Would it be real Dennis or alternate universe Dennis?
Both, just all in one big pile.
Okay.
So just tons of cool, but unrelated to the actual horror movie happening right now. Mac would kill someone just to prove that he can.
Yeah.
Because like he's as manly as he could be the killer. Why does anybody think I could be the killer?
Right. Yeah.
And so he'll kill D. Yeah. Frank will actually be the mastermind of the whole thing, but never actually get around to actually killing anybody. And then Charlie will wild card and kill he and Frank, which would be the last two standing. As Frank's like gleefully explaining that I was going to be the killer.
So
but
he's
all of
like
you...
the Saw guy, basically.
Yes, yes. Okay. So he's trying to be Jigsaw.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Charlie actually ends up accidentally killing Frank.
So do you bring in like Rickety Cricket and some of those guys for this? They show up and get killed?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think they'd have to be just corpses everywhere.
Oh,
yeah,
and those weird cousins.
The
Doyles. Well, also, I feel like
that Jimmy Simpson, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And your storyline really works because we kind of thought Mac, or not Mac, but Dennis
is definitely a serial killer.
Dennis is definitely a serial killer.
Yeah. Like, that's been a problem for a while.
So I think it'd be great to find all the bodies and him be like, oh, no, that's a whole other thing.
You know, I came up with an idea and then I was like, wait, they might actually do this.
Yeah. Okay.
But I was like, oh, you take the cast from Archer
and
you put them in like an Agatha Christie.
Oh, my God.
Then there'll be one.
Yes.
Or what's
Murder in the Danger Zone.
Yeah. Murder in the Danger Zone.
Or like on a train or something.
Yeah.
Or I would love
with that cast, no lie, you could do a like, what's it called? Like confinement horror, like Buried. You know, where you're like trapped and it's like a bottle film.
Yeah.
You could totally do that with this cast because they're just so funny. Like them trapped in a box for an hour, you know.
I would definitely listen to John
Benjamin.
I would
really watch that.
Yeah.
I want to see a Get Out sequel with Atlanta. So the family opens an expansion in Atlanta and Paperboy gets dragged into it because he's famous. Mm-hmm. And then I just imagine Earn going around the hole and he's like, we gotta get out of here. This place is messed up. And he's like, no, this is good. They're paying me.
Gotta get that money.
Yeah, I think it would be absolutely wonderful if they all went in there, especially considering that Darius is in.
Yes, Darius is in Get Out. Yeah.
It would be great to have them like walk around in there and Darius look around and like, nah, fuck this. Like, I could just see Paperboy like get up the steps and like, No.
That is why it wouldn't work. They'd all know. They'd be like, nope. Shut that shit down. Let's go.
You see Earn explaining it to him, like, I'm not taking that gig, man.
Yeah. He's like, here's what's going to happen. First of all, there's a bunch of white people, and it's going to seem fine, and one's going to talk about voting for Obama.
You want us to drive to where?
No.
Yeah. It's all just him explaining what would have happened, and they flashed.
Oh, they wouldn't have made it past the deer. Fuck that.
Yeah. That's right. Nope. We're going home. Yeah. Yeah. All right. That wraps it up for us this week. Thank you, everyone, for coming. Thank you, Ashley and Kyle and Les.
Thank you, Randy.
And
thanks. I missed you.
Thank you to our listeners for their questions. Thank you to our patrons for their patronage.
Flying Les out to do these interviews.
Yeah, on the TV Dude copter with the Vietnam-style cell phone.
So everybody knows, we're totally joking, and people call me on Skype.
Aw, way to kill the magic.
Software.
You ruined the truth of the TV Dude copter.
Like all other UT grads, I can't leave Austin, and I'm not allowed by law.
And until next week,
TV Dude's out.
The TV Dudes is an independently run podcast and a member of the Electric Sweater Podcast Network. We are exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and Twitter at TV Dudes. All the music for our show is by our friend and original TV Dude, Gregory J. Amani Smith. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com and electricsweater.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.